Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our supercomputer, Charlie Long, did check out the MLB records, and it was the Pittsburgh Pirates making the postseason. When was it last again now, Charlie?
So the last time they made the postseason was the NL wild card in 2015. What I was thinking of, the last time they actually scored a run in the postseason was 2013. They made the postseason as a wild card team in 2014 and 2015, got blanked both times by the Giants in 2014 and the Cubs in 2015. So ever since then, it's been a decade-long drought for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And despite the excellence of Paul Skeens, I don't anticipate that ending anytime soon.
Our LSU baseball chat continues. Happy to welcome in now Cokie Riley, writes for the Times-Picayune, also NOLA.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Cokie. I know you've been heck of a lot busy coming from Omaha right back into things, and boom, the transfer portal is open, and Jay Johnson has been very, very busy and seems to have a certain like for left-handed pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as you said, there's pretty much no off season in college baseball now. So we move on to, the madness that is the transfer portal after the national championship. And yeah, I mean, LSU is really getting on the left-handers, and that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Given that really there's only one left-hander who's locked in for next year, and that's Cooper Williams. Because you're losing Kade Anderson, DJ Primo and Connor Ware are both draft eligible. My guess is Ware goes and Primo comes back, but we'll still see about how that's going to work out. And so when you have those, and the fact that they just didn't have a lot of left-handers in general on last year's team, one of the few weaknesses I had is that they just didn't have a ton of different options there from the left side, unlike in 2024 where they had like 10 left-handers. This year's team, it looks like they've really gone to the portal to sort of fix that. And it's still a question as to how many of the freshmen they're going to get back who are lefties. Briggs McKenzie is a pretty talented incoming freshman who has a chance of getting picked in the first couple rounds of the draft, so they may not be able to scoop him up. But we'll see. But yeah, with these transfers, just specifically, Danny Lockenmeyer is a lefty from North Dakota State. They added, today they added Santiago Garcia, who is a, lefty and also a teammate of Monster Milam's at Las Cruces, New Mexico. He's from Oregon, another high strikeout guy. And then they had Ryland Smart, who redshirted this past year at Tennessee. He didn't pitch at all. Part had to do with an injury, but he was a pretty talented freshman coming out of that class. So that 2024 class. So it's three left-handers. All of them have pretty good stuff. They all have pretty good stuff, high strikeout rates, even if there might be some risk for walks as well. So, adding lefties, that was going to be priority for them this offseason. So it isn't that much of a surprise that they've added three guys already.
You know, Cokie, before we get into some of the, positional players that they've added in the portal as well, I want to get your thoughts on Lockenmeyer, because I had heard and read that LSU beat out Arkansas for his services, and the numbers really, really jump off the page for a freshman, a 2.37 ERA, 38 innings pitched, only 25 hits allowed, 56 strikeouts in those 38 innings, and 9 saves as a freshman. So a key bullpen piece for this North Dakota State team. Just want to get your thoughts on Lockenmeyer, because he was highly coveted by Arkansas. LSU ends up beating him out to get his services. And we talked with Glenn West about this the other day, the writer for Go247 Sports, and he said they are very, very excited to have landed Lockenmeyer and have beaten out Arkansas for his services.
Yeah, he's a pretty interesting guy because just wasn't very highly. This past year was just his freshman year. Wasn't super highly recruited guy. But when you look at his strikeout rate again, you can tell that he has the stuff to play in this league. And that's usually priority number one if they're adding a guy from a smaller league, is that, is it obvious that you have the talent to play at this level? And with the pitchers, a lot of it comes down to their strikeout rates and their stuff. Like, even it, like the ERA just doesn't matter as much. But if you have, you know, like a really nasty breaking ball or a fastball that goes, that can run, that you can run up into the upper 90s, that's the sort of talent that you need to pitch in this league. And I feel like Lockenmeier seems like he has those sort of tools for them.
Two guys, and Seth Dardar and Braden Simpson. What do you know about these two guys?
Yeah, with Braden Simpson and Seth Dardar, they're both infielders. I think Dardar is probably going to be more of the first base DH type, just given his body type and just his experience as more of a right side of the infield kind of guy. He has some experience playing second base, but again, I think they're going to go a different direction when it comes to what they're going to do at second. And then at third, with Simpson, I think he's probably going to be the third baseman because that's where he played the majority of the time last year at High Point. Both guys have power. Dardar at 13 this past season, including one off Cade Anderson. Simpson hit 23, and that's a guy who kind of steadily got better over the course of his time at High Point. They're both pretty quick additions. Simpson was a grad transfer because he graduated after 3 years at High Point. So these are veteran pieces who give them a little bit of power, give them a little bit of versatility on the infield. And I think they're sort of the old heads that they like to add. They like to add one or two of these guys a year, it seems like. And I feel like they're going to be pretty, you know, solid. So I look at a Dardar addition sort of like Cade Beloso. I think this is his fifth or sixth year in college this season. And then with Simpson, he seems like he's going to be kind of a rock for this team, in one sense or another.
You know, Cookie, before we get into the MLB draft, I just want to ask you, I think we've talked with you about this as well, that with LSU's very, very talented group of freshmen that are going to be returning for the 2026 season for their sophomore campaigns, you know, LSU can kind of afford to be quote unquote selective in the portal and just target the top guys that they need to fill specific holes. So I just want to get your thoughts on what holes before the draft that you think that they still have to fill on this roster for the 2026 team.
Yeah, I think they still need a second baseman. Tanner Reeves could fill into the spot technically right now, like if they didn't do anything and they just, I guess they could get away with Reeves or some combination of Reeves and freshman at second. But I think my guess is that they'll try to get somebody to fill in that spot. It's the only obvious spot in the roster that I see at the moment. And everything else is kind of a question mark depending on the draft, you know. Maybe they'll add someone who could slide in and start like the way they added Anthony Iason last season, despite having a bunch of depth already coming back. But again, like even that's going to depend on the draft. Like what's Zach Cowell going to do? And I think, you know, the draft hinges on every roster, right? Like the swing of what the roster is going to look like really comes down to what happens in the draft. But I feel like that's just so especially true with this team because you have Cowan, you have Ethan Fry, you have Chris Stanfield. There's just a lot of different guys who are kind of on the fence. And then that's really going to affect things. And now, then when you add in sort of the house settlement and there's this confusion over, you know, who's grandfathered in to next year's team, and can stand the team, even if they're over 34 guys or not, that gets really confusing. And I don't know how clear the rules are on that right now. So I think given all that confusion, I just really feel like, it's going to be a pretty hectic July 13th and 14th, and we can sort of get into the freshmen in a moment here, but they also sort of add a totally new wrinkle to this because, again, it's a lot of infielders, it's a few outfielders, and it's a lot of pitchers. So I know that sounds like every position, but they don't have a lot of like first base types, so I guess that kind of makes for like that, you know, that corner infield spot kind of interesting for them next season. And again, like, it's, there's a lot going on with this team right now. And I feel like in terms of needs, second base for sure. You could argue first base depending on what happens with Fry and what they want to do with him. So that there's kind of a, like, a fusion to that. Do they want to play in the outfield? Can they play him in the outfield? All that sort of stuff. So we'll see.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You brought up with Fry, Stanfield, and Cowan. Any idea kind of which way those guys are leaning?
It's really tough to tell. I think, just given the way Cowan pitches and his stuff and what Major League Baseball wants to see in a guy, I don't see a world. I have trouble seeing a world where he's picked in the first like three or four rounds. But if he wants to take sixth or seventh round money, then he'll go. Right. It's just a matter of it's going to come down to the kid, because I feel like I have a decent idea, and we all have a decent idea of what these guys are worth. I know Ethan Fry definitely has fans in Major League Baseball. I feel like, you know, he made ESPN's top 150 list. I've talked to a scout who liked him a lot. But the question is though, like, is he willing to take like fourth or fifth round money because he didn't play any defense this year, or does he want to come back to school, play some defense, prove that he can play the field a little bit? And yeah, like, you won't have any leverage coming out as a senior, but at the same time, he'll have a chance to win another national championship, and he'll also have a chance to kind of raise his ceiling as a prospect by showing what he can do with the glove. So, these are the sort of, again, a lot of it's just going to come down to the kid and what they want and what they think they're worth. And again, that's all, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how all that sort of shakes out.
Cookie, staying with the MLB draft, just about a week and a half away. You know, I've heard different sites that have different rankings. I know that you had posted Keith Law's ranking of the top 100 prospects ahead of the draft, and Cade Anderson coming in at number 3. And we talked with Jay Johnson last Thursday. I know the media talked with him after the, you know, national championship victory, and he said that the Washington Nationals, don't make a mistake, take Cade Anderson number 1 overall and give LSU their second number 1 overall pick in a 3-year stretch. But do you think there's a legitimate possibility that Cade does, in fact, go number 1 overall? I've seen some sites that have him as the number 1 overall pick. I've seen others that have Ethan Holliday, son of Matt Holliday and brother of Jackson Holliday, as the number 1 overall pick. Just wanted to kind of get your projection ahead of the draft about a week and a half away.
It's going to be really interesting because if you look at the Nationals organization, they don't have a ton of pitching. But at the same time, Holliday seems like a decent bet for them because they also like going for like the high ceiling prodigy guy, right? Think of a Bryce Harper. But I don't know, like they, like it all comes down to the organization and what their preference is when they go into a slot like that. But like the Nationals aren't afraid to go over slot. They're not afraid to, they're not afraid to pick the guy who they think can rise up the major leagues. They're very much like a talent based organization. They think we're going to pick the best guy sort of situation. And they also have a history with Boris clients. So I don't really know how that translates to Cade specifically. But if they want to be a better team, if they want to be good in 2027 or 2020, even 2026, or be better in 2026, Anderson actually makes a ton of sense because out of all the top guys in the draft, he's probably the one who's going to make the major leagues the fastest. So I think if that's what their plan is and they want to be good soon, I could definitely see them picking Anderson because if Anderson doesn't go there, I could definitely see the Angels picking him because the Angels, they don't waste a lot of time with their guys in the minor leagues. Like, if Anderson isn't on the major league roster in 26, if he gets picked by the Angels at 2, I'd be pretty stunned. Because they love to rush guys up to the major leagues right now. And if you want a major league ready guy, Anderson's your guy. And it's going to kind of come down to what the Nationals want in their prospect. Do they want the high ceiling high school hitter who, yeah, he might take some extra time to get up there, but he could be an absolute superstar. I think Ethan Hawley's kind of the guy if you want that. Or do they want to be good soon and right away? It's not right away, and I think Kate Anderson's kind of their answer there. Or do they want a combination of both, and that might be Liam Doyle. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with number one overall.
And then the second part of the LSU double-headed monster at the starting pitching position, obviously Kate Anderson we just discussed. Anthony Ianson, Keith Law's ranking had him number 38 on that list. And just your thoughts on Anthony Ianson and his potential as a pro. You know, he could potentially be a borderline first-round pick in this upcoming draft.
Yeah, there's a chance that he sneaks into a competitive balance pick. I could see him being competitive balance pick or early second round. He's a really good athlete. He's got multiple good breaking pitches. He has really good control of his stuff. He might need a little bit more, life and juice in the fastball. I think that's kind of one of the main question marks with him when it comes to evaluators. Other than that, there's not a whole ton of questions with him. He's fairly polished. He improved throughout the season. So I'm really curious to see what team sort of takes him and what team really likes, to sort of implement him into their pitching models. So I think there's definitely a chance he can go in the first round, late in the first round.
Cokie Riley with the Times-Picayune Advocate and NOLA.com. Always appreciate your time, man. I know Jay Johnson's been keeping you busy, so thanks for taking a little break and joining us, man.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cokie.
Cokie Riley there. You can follow his work. Like I said, NOLA.com is the place to go.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.